Good morning.
I don't rejoice when Pastor is sick. I appreciate the opportunity, and I'm glad I could be there to help, you know. And of course, I love preaching, but nobody could take your place, Pastor. You're one of a kind, and we love you.
Yeah.
We love you just the way you are, and we do hope you feel better soon. Amen. Really, for all of us, we just need to try to stay healthy. Amen. But this morning, if you open your Bibles to 2 Timothy, most of you know I enjoy doing the lessons on characteristics or qualities of different Bible characters. And of course, the Apostle Paul here in 2 Timothy, this is his last words to Timothy. That's 2 Timothy chapter. I heard something on the radio the other day, and the guy was referring to it, instead of, you know, we call it 1 and 2 Timothy, they call it Timothy 1 and Timothy 2 or something like that. I remember when the kids came back from Word of Life and they were talking about Devo, and I'm like, Devo? And that's what you call private devotion now, I guess, is Devo. I like the word devotion. I like all the syllables, amen. but anyways, this is the over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, if I didn't say that, verse 6 to 18. We'll read that. But these are the Apostle Paul's last words. And the Apostle Paul, most of you know, was the minister to the Gentiles, amen. All the New Testament epistles that Paul wrote pertain directly to us, the New Testament church. They're not hard to interpret. You know, sometimes you get over in the Old Testament and, you know, you can misinterpret things. But when it comes to the New Testament epistles, it says what it says. It means what it says in English, amen, and God preserved this for us. And so over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul says to follow him, amen, as he follows Christ. And so for the New Testament church, the Apostle Paul should be up there high on the list of people that we would like to characterize ourselves after, an example we can have, amen. And so you can never go wrong reading the New Testament epistles, amen. Anyways, so we're going to look at Paul's last words. Paul's probably about 68 years old at this time. He's about to be beheaded by Nero. These are the words he wrote to Timothy, and these words are preserved for us almost 2,000 years later, still affecting people, still encouraging Christians, giving Christians guidance on how to walk according to the things of God, the mysteries that Paul writes for us. Amen. The apostle, over almost 2,000 years, amen, these words are still saving people's souls, amen. This is a charge that gets read to most preachers at the ordination and things like that. And so these are very important words, and they're special, and they pertain to us, amen. So let's read verse 6 to 18 real quick, and then I'll go back and we'll expound on it a little bit. The beginning again is a charge to Timothy to preach the word instant, in season, out of season. Amen. That means when you feel like it and when you don't. Amen. And just to always be ready. Paul warns him that people are not going to want to hear the truth, and we see that nowadays. Amen. People don't want to hear the truth. It's almost like facts don't matter anymore. Amen. It's how people feel and things like that, you know. And for a Christian, amen, the facts and the things that are written that are in black and white, amen, no matter how you feel, amen. I mean, sometimes you don't feel like you're saved, amen. If you're sick or you're going through a trial, you might feel like that. And so we don't go by feelings. We go by what the Word of God says, amen. The Bible says if you trust Christ as your Savior, you're saved, your sins are forgiven. Don't matter how you feel, amen. And so New Testament Christians walk by faith and walk by the Word of God, not how they feel or what they think about something, amen. But verse 6, Paul says to Timothy, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Verse 7, he says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Verse 10 says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And to Tychicus, in Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the parchments." Verse 14, the Bible says, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou aware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever." Amen. Amen. Let me take this candy out of my mouth so I don't hit anybody with it. In the front rows. Amen. But anyway, these are some exciting passages. These are some informative passages. The Apostle Paul here again. These are his last words. There's a book, I believe, by me and Pastor talked about it. The Last Words of Saints and Sinners. You have that book. If you go online or the Christian bookstore, you get that book, and a lot of famous people are in that book in their last words, amen, of saints and sinners. And you'll see the difference between someone that's saved, that knows they're going to glory, and they have a peace, and they hear music, they see angels, they just have peace, they're looking forward to it. And then you read the words of those sinners that go screaming and kicking and hallucinating and feel like their feet are on fire. It's horrible, amen. And so there's something to this, being saved and knowing that you're saved, amen. And the first thing that we notice about the Apostle Paul is that he was prepared, amen. In verse number 6, Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered," amen. and the time of my departure is at hand. That word departure, an archaic definition of that word departure is death, amen. That's why you go to a funeral, they say, yeah, dearly departed, you know. And the Apostle Paul knew he was going to be getting put to death. He was supposed to get put in the Colosseum and killed by lions for whatever reason. Well, we know why, because God's in control, amen. That didn't happen, and instead, Paul's going to be beheaded, amen. But Paul knew that it's time he was ready, amen, for his departure. And that's the most important thing. Every man, woman, boy, or girl in this room, in the world, amen, has to be prepared, amen. The Apostle Paul said, I am ready, amen. He's to be offered. The Apostle Paul was like broken bread, amen, and poured out wine. He served the Lord just about over half his life, amen, over 30 years or so, and he lived for God. He was submissive to the will of God, amen, and Paul knew that he was saved, amen. And that's the most important thing that anybody in this room today, it needs to know that you are saved, amen. If you are, praise the Lord. If you're not, you need to think about it, amen. Because the Bible says that it's appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment, amen. The Bible says that our life is brief, our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a while, then it's gone, amen. And the Bible's written, and preachers tell us, and radio programs, literature, books, whatever the case may be, tells us how we can be prepared to go into eternity. And we get prepared if we go on vacation. We probably all got prepared before we came to church today. Amen. We get prepared for things at work. We try to prepare for our future. But the most important thing in your future is that none of us know the day or the hour. Amen. And so you need to have that settled. You need to be prepared. The Bible tells us over in 1 John, these things are written that we may know, amen. Everybody, you can know for sure, amen. We don't have a hope-so salvation, amen. It's a know-so salvation, amen. The Bible says again over in 1 John, it says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life, amen. It's simple, one-syllable words, amen, about 16 of them that a little kid could understand, amen. What's his name? Vernon McGee said that the Bible is, God puts the cookies where the kids can reach them, amen. And it's simple and we can understand, amen. So there's no excuses. Paul was ready, amen. And of course the question to you, are you ready? Are you ready to stand before God, amen? If your soul was required of you tonight, would you be ready? Would you be able to stand before God, amen? Very important, amen. Important, important, amen. Paul knew that was the most important thing, and Paul said he was ready, amen. He said he was ready. Paul says in verse number 6, he says, for I am now ready, amen, to be offered, and that time of my departure is at hand. So Paul was prepared. Jesus said over in John 14, he said, let not your heart be troubled, amen. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are what? Many mansions, he says. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, amen. Heaven's a prepared place for prepared people, amen. And so it's so important, amen. Paul was prepared, he was ready, amen. None of us know what lies ahead, amen. I hope everybody in, personally, I hope the rapture happens, amen. I don't like funerals. I don't like doing them. I don't like going to them. And especially someone that's close to me. I just rather, I'm a wimp, amen. I'd rather just have the rapture happen and we all go together and it'd be easy, amen. But unfortunately, it's not that way. So be prepared, amen. That's the most important thing. Know where you're going, amen, when you die. Another thing we see about the Apostle Paul, and hope we can say the same thing, amen. The Apostle Paul was satisfied with his service to the Lord, amen. Look at in verse number 7. Paul says, I have fought a good fight, amen. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Amen. What a testimony. I hope I can say that. Amen. When the day comes, you know what? I stuck with God through thick and thin, good times, bad times. Amen. Paul said he fought the good fight. Amen. And that word fought comes from the Greek word for agonize. Amen. Paul agonized. And that makes me think of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, over in Luke, in the Garden of Gethsemane, amen, agonizing in prayer, amen, to the point of where his blood vessels broke. He was sweating. It was like drops of blood, amen. And so this Christian life that we live is a battle, amen, and we have to be tough, amen. The Apostle Paul refers to us as wrestlers. He refers to us as soldiers, amen. Refers to us as farmers, who, of course, beside what Mike Bloomberg says about farmers, amen. They're tough, they're hard workers, amen. They're diligent, they persevere, amen. And so Paul fought the good fight, amen. Paul agonized, he fought that fight, he stayed on course. He said, I have fought a good fight, amen. And he said, I have finished my course, amen. And so Paul, knowing he was ready to go before the Lord, knew he could stand before the Lord one day soon, and that he was going to have confidence, amen, and content that he was in the will of God, and that he followed God's plan for him, amen. Every time you come up to preach, it's like you're going into the arena, amen, to battle. Every time you try to witness to somebody, every time you try to teach the word of God, it's like you're in a battle, amen. The devil don't want people saved, amen. The devil wants people lost. The devil wants people deluded. And he's been doing it for thousands of years, amen. He knows human nature. He knows how to overthrow people, amen. And so it's important for us to know that. One pastor called me Wednesday. The first thing I thought of was, boy, pastor preached that good message the week before last. There was an altar call. People came to the altar. And it was like he wasn't getting away with that. Amen. And now here he is 2 weeks out. Amen. Because it's a battle. Amen. It's a battle. And so we need to realize that. And the Apostle Paul recognized that. Paul was a warrior, amen. He fought, he conquered. He talks about finishing his course, amen. He talks about that over in Hebrews, like a runner, amen. He stayed in his track. You ever see sometimes me and Kathy would go to the high school and we'd walk on the track, you know, and she'd bump into me and I'd be like, stay in your line, you know what I mean? And when you run, God has a course for you, amen. You submit to God, yield to God, pray to God, and do what God wants you to do, amen. For many of us, it's just the regular things, working, raising our families. I love my grandson being in church. I mean, it reminds me of when my kids were little. It shows you how old we're getting, amen. But just seeing him, he wants to be part of the service, amen. He wants to say amen. He wants to clap. And he's, of course, you know, he's very animated, amen. I hope maybe he'll be a preacher, amen. That wouldn't bother me, amen. Anyways, and so Paul said he's a runner, amen. He stayed on track and he finished his course, amen. And he kept the faith, amen. Because there's times our faith gets tried. There's times we feel tested. There's times where you feel like you can't go on. It was sad. Yesterday I met a friend of ours that we had met him about 10 years ago. He was from Alaska. And last time we saw him, him and his wife and their son, they had a baby daughter they had buried when she was a couple years old. And they just seemed like such a good family. And I met with him yesterday. He's from Rhode Island and lives in Australia. And his wife left him, his son went out into the world, and it was just sad, amen. And you could tell he looks beat up, but he said, you know, I just I'm not going to turn away from God, you know, and just, and sometimes that's all you can do, amen. And sometimes if there's a storm, what do you do when there's a storm? You take shelter. So we shelter. The Lord's our shelter, amen. We're supposed to make progress. We're supposed to be moving forward. We're supposed to always be, but when there's a storm, we just take shelter. We just hold our ground. We just stand there and stay close to God, amen, till the storm passes by, amen. We sing them songs, when the storm passes over, when the storm passes by type of thing, amen. And then when the storm passes, you keep moving, amen. And so Paul was satisfied that he fought a good fight. It was agonizing. It was a battle, amen. Somehow I wish we could get saved, Pastor. And then there would just be a stamp on us, exempt from trouble, you know, from sickness, from trials, and you know, because sometimes you feel like this shouldn't be happening to me. I'm a Christian, but it's life, you know, unfortunately. But the good thing is, you know where you're going. You're prepared, and so no matter what cards this life deals us, amen, we know where we're going, we know we're a child of God, and we know we're in his hands, amen. And so again, the Apostle Paul, what a good example of someone that no matter what circumstances he got in, whether they were good or bad, whether he was getting put in jail, whether they were rejoicing and having revival, he just believed he was in God's will, amen. And he just accepted it. He didn't try to change it. He just looked for what's the opportunity. Why has God got me here, amen? And I know I always think about, you know, you got to, I hate going to the doctor because I feel like they look for stuff, you know? It's like I feel like you go in there because you got a cold. The next thing, they're sticking tubes in you every direction. They want to, you know, like they're trying to find something bad, you know? And but you go there, those are opportunities, amen, that you can leave tracks in the office, or maybe you can witness to the, so even though it's a negative thing, we try to find something positive out of it that God can use us, amen. I'm going to maybe give a track to the nurse, or I'm going to put tracks in the magazines at the doctor's office, amen. Make the best out of this situation, amen. And it's like, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times the older you get, you know, one of the things I'm waiting is for me to have a condition. You know, like you hear people, I can't do that because of my condition, you know. And it's like, it seems like a lot of people, you get a condition. And I hope I don't, but I probably will, amen, because most of us do. But when the time comes, it's like, you know what, I just got to look for the opportunities and keep on the sunny side of life, amen, as a song says, even when it's a little dark, amen. So Paul was prepared, knew he was going to heaven. There was no resistance. He was ready to go, amen. If you ever read the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs, or if you're really an avid reader, you read Martyr's Mirror, where it's about this, it's like Webster's 1828 dictionary, but that's where all the excerpts for Martyr's Mirror, Fox's Book of Martyrs came from, Martyr's Mirror. And you see those people, they're getting led to the stake, and they're standing there tied to the stake, and it gets lit on fire, and they start singing. It's like the flames aren't even hurting them, and things like that. It's like, you can't humanly think like that, amen. But when that time comes, they knew they were ready. They knew they were going with the Lord. Lord gave them that dying grace, amen, that you get when you die, amen. We don't have it now, so we don't understand. But Paul was ready to stand before God. He was satisfied with the fight he fought, amen, the course he stayed on. He kept his faith. Then in verse number 8, the apostle says, henceforth, amen, from this point on, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, amen. And so Paul knew, amen, just like us, we hear about the crowns that we get, the rewards we're going to get, the song you guys sang this morning about the crown, amen, and giving it back to the Lord and all those things. When you read your Bible and you remember your Bible, and the longer you spend time in your Bible, you remember all these things. And instead of feeling like I'm going into the afterlife, into the unknown and the unexplained, and it's scary, amen, you know, because you got a book That tells you what's going to happen, amen. And you're going to stand before the Lord, amen. You're going to get rewarded for your service with him and things like that. You're going to take your seat that's reserved for you. If you're saved today, there's a seat that says, Betty's seat. Nobody else is getting that seat. That's your seat, amen. I got one. I hope mine's near you too, amen. You know, and he said, so Paul was ready. He knew what to expect, amen. He wasn't scared of the unknown. And they say that's one of the biggest fears people have is dying because they don't know what's going to happen. We got a book that tells us what's going to happen, amen. And we, if we read it and we remember it, we know exactly what's going to happen, amen. Pastor Randall, my pastor, he used to say, name 10 things that you're looking forward to seeing in heaven, you know, and you got to think, wow. And everybody, of course, always says Jesus, you know, but that's the easy one. But what else, you know? Then you start thinking, wow, the stones, amen, of the foundation, the big pearl, a giant pearl that's a gate, you know, that little trickle of water that comes out from the Lord's throne that turns into a big river, you know, and when you read the Bible and you remember, you know where you're going, amen, you know what's going to happen, you know what you're going to look forward to. I remember a joke I heard. I'm losing all my time here. I think you're moving the clock up on me. But I heard this joke that this guy went to heaven and Peter said, come on, I'll show you around. He's taking him around and then the place is beautiful, the temperature's perfect, you know, and the angels are singing and the kids are playing and, you know, all kinds of things. And he sees this little, like, concrete building. This is no windows, nothing in it, just a door. And he saw all the mansions, and he's like, so what was that little building over there? And he said, oh, that's Brother So-and-so. He thinks he's the only one here. But we know where we're going, amen. Paul mentions, and so again, Paul knows his crowning day is coming, amen. He knows he's getting that crown. And look at what he says in the verse 8. He says, at the bottom of the verse, he says, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing, amen. Do you love Jesus? Do you love, think about the day he's going to appear or you're going to stay? You're going to get a crown for that, amen. That's one of the crowns you're going to get. You can get a soul winner's crown, amen. There's different crowns that we can, we'll get, amen. That when we go to a judgment seat of Christ, amen, that's a day we'll be rewarded, amen. It's not judgment for are you a sinner or not, amen. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, you were translated to the kingdom of his Son, amen. That condemnation is God. That's Romans 8, verse 1, amen. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. This is the judgment seat of Christ is where the Christians appear, amen. And we get our rewards, we get our rank, we find out what we're going to do during the millennial reign. You're going to come back and rule and reign for 1,000 years with the Lord, amen. When you serve him, just like our military, you see there's privates, there's generals, they have more decorations, they have hats with buttons on them, and then you see the private, amen. He's got just a couple. He's still there, amen, which is a blessing. But when we go to that judgment seat of Christ, amen, the gold, the silver, the precious stones, amen, the rewards that we'll have, the crowns, amen. You could have a 3 or 4 tier crown, amen. The only one I don't want is the martyr's crown, amen. I'll be honest with you, I don't want that. It's times out in Harvard Square where some of us thought we might get that, amen, but we didn't. And you know what, and if you do, we'd probably be like Paul, and this is God's will, I can't do nothing about it, and you would get that one, but personally, I don't want that one. Amen. And so Paul says that there's a crown laid up for him, his treasure, amen, all those that await his appearing. I heard Brother Spurgeon one time at Pastor Piet's. He said, first we meet the boss, Then we get our horse. Then they count the loss, and then we get our horse. Amen. And so we get a horse up in heaven. Amen. You got horses, right?
Not anymore.
Not anymore? Okay. But I never rode a horse other than the one at the front of the supermarket, amen, when I was little. But and I cried, but but you get a horse, amen. I mean, the things you've got to look forward to in heaven, I mean, it's not a bad thing, amen. And we make it like, oh, man, you know. And we're sad because we miss people when they go, amen. But we know, man, they're better off than us, amen. And so, Paul had that hope, amen. Henceforth, there's a laid up for me a crown, amen. And he knew, amen, where he was going. He mentioned some of the painful experiences he had in verse number 10. He says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world," amen. And of course, that word forsaken means abandoned, things like that, amen. Having loved this present world, and has departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans, the Galatia, Titus. And I don't think Titus and them turned away from the Lord. They were just in different places than maybe Paul thought they should be, whatever the case. In verse 14, he talks about Alexander the coppersmith doing him much evil. In verse 16, he talks about no one stood with him, amen, when he went to trial. The only one that stayed with him was Luke, amen. And even that shows you how God watches over his people. And Luke was a doctor, amen. Luke was a medical doctor and a physician. He traveled with Paul. Paul, we know he had a condition, amen, with his eyes, and had a health problem. I mean, the Apostle Paul got stoned and his head caved in, and got up and went back in and street preached, amen, I think in Lystra. And so Paul had some health problems, amen, and Luke only stood with him. And so, like us all, amen, we have those hardships, amen, we have health problems, we can have legal problems, sometimes just when you're walking with God and you're going to be a Christian, there's other people in your family or friends that aren't. You just, they tend to drift from you. They stop kind of inviting you to stuff as much as they used to and things like that. And really, it's more because of their guilt, because your walk with God and your Christianity convicts them, amen. And so in return, they kind of stay away. They drift away from you. And so just like us all, amen, Paul had some sorrows and some heartaches and things like that. In verse number 16, another quality we see of that Paul has that we should all have, of course, is forgiveness. Amen. Looking in verse 16, Paul said, "But at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me." Amen. And then Paul goes on and says, "I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." Amen. And Paul's saying, you know what? I hope God doesn't bill him for it. I hope God doesn't make him pay. I realize I'm a fanatic, and if they run around with me, they're going to get put in jail. I know it's hard, you know. And Paul was just forgiving, amen. He didn't want Lord to charge them for or make them pay, amen, for not being there with him at the end. It's sad at the end of his life, you know, that all his friends kind of went in different directions. But Jesus says in Matthew 5, he says, "Pray for them that despitefully use you, do good to them that hate you, and bless them that curse you." Amen. And so I know that's a hard thing to do, but God tells us to do that. And the Apostle Paul shows us his example of doing that, amen, because it's better for you, amen, when you hold the grudge, when you hold resentment, when you're mad. It ruins your walk with God. It can ruin your health. It can ruin your, get your mind all messed up. Amen. So it's better for us. Amen. That's why God wants us to do it. And also, we're supposed to be forgiven just as Christ has forgiven us. Amen. God forgave us for all our sins, all our crimes that we committed against him. Amen. And so he wants us to also be that way. And then we see the source of Paul's strength. Amen. That gave him the ability to forgive, that gave him the ability to serve God, that gave him the hope and the eternal security he's looking for in verse 17. He says at 16, no man stood with me. In verse 17, he says, notwithstanding, amen, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, amen. And so that's really the one, it's encouraging when someone, you got to go to a doctor, somebody goes with you, of course, or you got to go do something unpleasant or see somebody, somebody goes with you, of course, so that's a blessing, amen. But the biggest blessing is being a child of God, being saved, and God's living inside of you, and he strengthens you, amen, with his spirit, and he is with you, amen, and you know that, amen. Even if you don't feel that, you know it, because the Bible says he is, amen. And so, it does, again, that's one of them things, don't matter how you feel, amen, it matters what it says. And it says, I in you, and you in me, amen. And he's in us. When you trust in Christ, the Holy Ghost of God, Jesus Christ and the person of the Holy Ghost moved inside of you, amen. Just like the Old Testament tabernacle had to be cleansed, then the presence of God would go in there. This Gentile sanctuary or tabernacle, when you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit came in, renewed, regenerated, cleansed you, and God moved in, amen, and he's in you, amen. And so that's where Paul got his strength from, amen, that presence of God, the power of God, that's what invigorated him, that's what gave him unction and kept him walking with God, amen, and kept him in the fight, amen, and in the battle, and gave him the power to fight and to run and to wrestle and to war and all the things that he needed to do. Amen. And then one last thing I'll try to rush through here. In verse number 18, we see Paul's eternal security. Amen. In verse number 18, he says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. And look what it says, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. Amen. And that's eternal security. The Apostle Paul knew where he was going. Amen. And it's important for us. Paul knew without a shadow of a doubt God took care of him. Amen. Knew that God would I talked last week about the angels escorting us up into the throne room of God. Amen. He knew he was eternally secure and knew that there were no eternal consequences for his sins. When he trusted Christ as his Savior, they were washed away. Past, present, and future, amen. Should we continue there in sin? God forbid, amen. But if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, amen. And if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness so we can stay in fellowship with him, amen. But you will not be judged, amen. And so anyways, I'm going to wrap it up because I'm going over a little bit here. But anyways, I guess the most important thing is, are you prepared? Amen. And if you're prepared, maybe some of these qualities, maybe you lack faith, or maybe you are scared of the future, or maybe you've been holding back on your service, whatever the case may be, amen. That's what's so good about church, is every Sunday we can walk in and we can walk out on good terms with God, amen.